our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 2. Send forth, O Lord, of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation. And what follows, Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 2. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Deuteronomy 33, the verses 7 through 29. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Deuteronomy 33, beginning with the 7th verse. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi he said, Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him. And neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against them, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin he said, The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. as glorious like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the 1,000s of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas, and of treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad he said, Blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated, and he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, as satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher he said, Let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Yeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven, in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel shall then dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also as heavens, as shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it is pleased thee by renewal, that as a congregation we may gather together within the walls of thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us, but also a post-communion service called upon to reflect upon this morning, whereby renewal the sacrament of the Lord's Supper may be administered in our midst. And, Lord, then surely, then there is much need for true and persevering prayer. Thou knowest most perfectly who are thine and who are not. Then in this morning hour, then thou wast yet given guests at thy table, And then in this evening, to call to reflect and to examine how it has been before, how it was in this morning hour, and how it is in this evening hour, our Lord. May it please thee to grant some after gleanings, well to gladden thy people, given to meditate upon the greater Judah, who has loved himself to death, that thy people may be saved. May it please thee in this evening hour, that some strings of their harps, the strings of their heart, that they may be touched, given to rejoice in thee, by an eye of faith to be given to look upon him, that is fairer than the children of men, where grace is poured out upon his lips. Lord, wilt thou remember the tender Idleas? May there yet be those troubled souls, perhaps souls at their wits' end, that know it no more. Perhaps even a soul that has thought that it would be better to remain home, and yet they may be in thy church. Oh, impress upon all our hearts the necessity to come to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son, for the pardoning of sins, to be reconciled with thee, O Lord. Do remember the unconverted. Thou knowest young and old, how they have been in thy house in this morning, how they have spent the day, how that they have come up to thy house. May there be many among them that may be filled with a holy jealousy. Oh, those that have sought out a secret place and that have cried unto thee, that thou may remember them in mercy, O Lord. Give us not over to the hardness of the heart. Wilt thou remember us as a people? May the prayers be multiplied, that thou may work lovingly and mightily to that end. Wilt thou bless the manifold means of grace? Wilt thou help and remember the consistory, who is sufficient unto these things? Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers, bless the labors, the midst of the family circles, bless thy holy word in our Christian school. Remember the many and help all those that may labor therein. We commend thy church all over the earth unto thee, the established churches, persecuted church, the Jewish people, mission work, also our mission field. Lord, do remember all the mourning ones, the father and mother, the family circle, who in the past week have brought their beloved daughter and sister to the grave. A busy week lieth behind them, and now it becometh so still and so quiet. They no longer have to visit a home or an hospital, but now to visit the cemetery with a grave. O Lord, do continue to uphold and remember them. Remember the two family circles in our midst, who in this week are called upon to bring their beloved mother and grandmother to the grave. Ah, Lord, then also their thoughts shall multiply old wounds reopened. The widower who was called in the past to bring his dear wife to the grave, ah, do remember him and his children and that other family where that mother in the years gone by was called upon to bring both her father and her mother to the grave. Wilt thou also uphold them, Lord? Remember him who has now become a widower. Remember all the children and all the grandchildren. Wilt thou remember all the mourning ones in our midst. Be mindful of the sick, the old father in the hospital, with many and serious concerns, then by renewal. Then we commend him unto thee for body and soul. Remember his dear wife. Remember the daughter that has underwent surgery. Lord, grant strengthening, grant healing. And may this calling be accompanied by the blessed work of thy Holy Spirit for her conversion. Then surely there would be a time that she could tell us, it was good to be afflicted, because I believe it was the time that the Lord has begun that good work. Wilt thou grant further strengthening to the infant child that was in the hospital, may return home, remember his parents. Remember all under the physician's care. And then, Lord, we remember our brother Deacon with his difficulties of his back. Then in thy goodness thou granteth that he may walk, that he may lie down. But when he sitteth, Lord, wilt thou grant unto him that he may cast all his care upon thee, and that he may experience that thou knowest of him. Wilt thou make that the pain is bearable. Remember all those difficulties in the body, known, unknown, weakness of the mind, crosses, burdens, it is all known unto thee. May we be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Those that are struggling with addictions, with temptations, ah, Lord, wilt thou deliver them. Remember the family circles, may love abound between husbands and wives, parents and children. When it is different, may there yet be a seeking of repentance, of reconciliation, that love may abound by renewal while it can yet and while it may yet. Wilt thou remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters? Wilt thou be mindful of all of our elderly ones in the evening of our life? Wilt thou remember Bethesda? And Lord, thou knowest all the difficulties, not only in our Bethesda, but where many of our people, they are confronted with government regulations. May then our eyes be upon thee and upon thy holy word, grant tokens that thou hast everything in thy hand. Thou also hast the heart of the king in thy hand. Lord, remember the nations of the earth. Remember also our nation, also the weak that lies behind. a very solemn week, where the government, the federal government, notwithstanding all thy callings, where thou wast sendeth the virus, and also storms upon the earth, that man has become so hard, no noticing of these matters, but where the Senate has also passed the bill so contrary to thy creation ordinances, Lord, then we are given to see that thy judgments are hanging so low over the earth. Wilt thou then remember us? May we have hearts to perceive it, and that thy church may be given to repent and turn to thee, the living God. Lord, we humbly ask thee, wilt thou grant thy gracious help, open thy word, a few simple words to speak, a few words that may enter into our hearts by the application of the Holy Spirit, wonder-doing God. Wilt thou then perform those wonders of free and sovereign grace? Wilt thou convert what is unconverted? And wilt thou remember thy people and spare that we build not upon sandy foundations, oh, no rest, till we may be given to rest in that finished work of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May our eyes so be upon thee, wilt thou remember all the listeners. May the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 367, the stanzas 4 and 5. Thou, the Lord, hast chosen Zion. Thou hast ever loved her well. This my resting place forever. Here thou sayest, I choose to dwell, and what follows. Psalter 365, the stanzas 4 and 5. Beloved congregation, we have come together in this evening hour in a post-communion service to reflect upon what has transpired in this morning hour. Then the Lord has given some guests, but the greater part of the congregation has remained in their seats. To that end, the necessity that many prayers may be sent up unto heaven, that the Lord may remember us. Then for the guests, then necessary to examine whether they had a wedding garment of the Lord's making and a wedding garment which the Lord has put on, which they may embrace by the hands of true saving faith. Also to consider how it has been before in a time of preparation, how it has been at the table, and how it is in this evening hour. With a beggar's prayer, that there may be some after-gleanings for our boys and girls and for our young people, may I ask you, how was it now in this morning when you came into church and you saw the table in the front of the church, and when you were given to see the administration of the Lord's Supper? How have you sat in your bench? Was there a holy jealousy to belong to that blessed people? Have you sent a prayer up to the Lord? Have you received a new heart, that is a heart that loves the Lord, that hates sin, and that needs to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? My unconverted fellow travelers, traveling to that never-ending eternity, how was it with you this morning hour? How was it in this afternoon hour? And how is it in this evening? Are you restless? Are you troubled? Are you burdened? Have you sent prayers up unto the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, have seen it as so often the table of the covenant administered in the midst of the congregation, and still outside, still in the precious day of grace, but death is approaching"? When we think of Esau in Genesis 27, where he is returned with his venison dressed, and when Father Isaac has said that he has blessed Jacob And Isaac was given to fall on the Lord's side. And then he said, and he shall be blessed. Then we read that in Esau, even an unconverted Esau, that he became so troubled, spoken to his father three times, has asked him, wilt thou bless me, even me also? Always ask his father, hast thou not reserved a blessing also for me? As even said, father, hast thou not one blessing? And then in Esau wept. Do you perhaps have to say that you were even much harder than in Esau? Ah, tell the Lord how it is, and beg the Lord that it may please him by his spirit to break that hard heart in a thousand pieces, a heart that may be given to bow. Of course, it is true, with Esau it was not that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. We even read that it turned to bitter enmity because he hated Jacob. We have heard out of Deuteronomy 33 that Moses, by the Holy Spirit in a way of prophecy, that he was given to pronounce all the blessings upon the children of Israel, what it must have been for a Simeon that his name was not mentioned, how troubled that tribe must have been, although we read that Simeon received a place within the borders of Judah. We are coming closer to the end of the year. 19 days left. As soon when the Lord granteth it, whether we shall come to the last day of the year, unknown unto us, the children of Israel, in Deuteronomy 33, they were ready to leave the wilderness and enter into that promised land. And as we come closer to the end of another year, then is it not the most important question whether we are included in that blessed people? Ah, for the 12 tribes, when they have left Moses before he climbed on Mount Nebo to see the promised land and then to enter into glory, how the family circles they must have spoken, how the boys and girls must have asked their fathers and mothers, father, mother, what did Moses now say about us? Were we included? Was it truly a blessing? Should that not be our exercises in these solemn and serious times? Have also a few Leahs, tender-eyed Leahs, come up in this evening hour. Ah, that cannot deny. Do you know what many times the question is? With those true Leahs, maybe there are those of us, when a Leah has received a Judah, what was she really given to see? It is clear that she was given to see something of the Messiah in Judah. Whether it was that Judah was even the promised seed, or out of his seed that the Messiah would be born, how troubled those Leahs can be concerning that first point of examination, then they know what it is, that godly sorrow, to be humbled, to mourn over their sins. Concerning that third point, they learn that there is so much amiss, but on account of that love, a desire to live for and to the Lord, if it was possible, to never grieve the Lord no more. But now concerning that second point, the saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, what a questions there can be. Oh, it can be in the life of those Leahs, providential trials, providential difficulties. Oh, in the life of those Leahs, even contrary providences, unanswered prayers, unfulfilled promises, riddles, perplexities. And oh, in the life of those true Leahs, when one thing goes upside down, then it all goes upside down, because those Leahs, they have a desire to deal so honestly with their soul. Can also be that there is the fear of man. Perhaps a few Leahs in my midst that had not such an easy day, and in this evening so troubled and so perplexed, because I read in Matthew 10, the verses 32 and 33, he that confesseth me before the Father, before men, I will confess before the Father. But he that denieth me before men, I will deny before my Father. Then it is a blessing when those Leahs, when they may experience what a Peter has experienced. He has sinned it all away. But then I read in that hall of Caiaphas that the Lord Jesus has turned himself, and that he has looked to Peter. That was a look of grief. That was a look that Peter has never forgotten. And then we read that he went out and wept bitterly. And this evening hour, with the Lord's help, then we hope to speak a little more of the blessing of Judah. Our text can be found in Deuteronomy 33, the 7th verse, the 2nd part. And he said, "Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies." Our text words speak the blessing and prayer concerning the manifold labors of Judah, with four thoughts. In the first place, concerning the blessed intercession of Judah. Secondly, regarding a victorious return of Judah. Thirdly, for sufficiency for the hands of Judah. And fourthly, granting the needed help for Judah. The blessing and prayer concerning the manifold labors of Judah, concerning the blessed intercession, because we read, "Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, the victorious return, and bring him unto his people. A for sufficiency for the hands of Judah, let his hands be sufficient for him. And lastly, granting the needed help for Judah, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. Thus first, concerning the blessed intercession of Judah. When we consider the blessing of Judah, then in the first place, then it concerns the tribe of Judah as a people. But it is clear in this blessing that it further refers to the leaders of Judah. And then we think especially of the kings of Judah. But when we consider the prophecies concerning Judah, we have already heard of Aaliyah when she has received her Judah, that she was given to praise the Lord. And it is clear on the deathbed of Father Jacob that he was not only speaking of the tribe, but that he was speaking of the greater Judah, the promised Messiah, who would be born from the seed of Judah. Because we read in Genesis 49 verse 8, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the necks of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. And in verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, and nor a lawgiver from between his feet, unto Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Then it is clear in that prophecy of Father Jacob upon his deathbed, that he was given to speak of the coming of the promised Messiah. And when we consider the blessings that were pronounced concerning the tribes, and that even after Reuben, then Moses was given to speak, and this is the blessing of Judah, then in this blessing for the tribe of Judah, there also lies declared the blessing of the greater Judah, as we hope to hear. And now we read, and this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. Thus then in this blessing we have heard from Leah that Judah means to praise. But that people that is given to praise, they are also given to pray. Because the spirit is called the spirit of prayer and of supplication. Then the Spirit shall lay the burdens upon their heart. He shall grant the intercession, the supplications. He shall give the opening at the throne of grace. And at his time, because many times there are delays, that those prayers may become more fervent unto the God in heaven. And now when we read in our text words, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, then in the first place, then we may speak of the past, because we have heard in this morning hour, in Genesis 44, when those brothers have returned to Joseph with that silver cup in the sack, when those brothers were so astonished and so silent, that they were given to rejoice that a Judah has come forward, that he was given to bow, that he was given to speak to Joseph. Oh, then surely it was the prayer of those brothers, what we read in our text. Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. and where the Lord has heard the same. And then our text words concerning that intercession, and then it concerns oftentimes, do we not read, the necessity, because the children of Israel, they were living in the midst of many enemies, and then how necessary it has become for the future. Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, O King David, how he has prayed in the midst of persecution, in the midst of enemies. Think of King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, when he was battling against those three kings. Then he was given to say, Lord, we have no strength against these enemies, but our eyes are upon thee. Then it was necessary what Moses has prophesied here, Lord, the voice of Judah. Oh, the prayer of Solomon. We could mention Hezekiah when the Assyrians have come, King Sennacherib under Rabshakeh. When he has received that letter, when he has went into the temple, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, but also a prophecy. Oh, considering that greater Judah, that is what a people learns, that learn that they cannot pray of themselves, that their prayers fall so short, that their prayers, that they need to be cleansed and washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, then the prophecy concerning Judah that received such a value. Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. Oh, the Lord has heard the voice of the greater Judah already in the council of peace. How shall I place them among the children? Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I come to do thy will, O my God. O hear the voice of Judah. O, when we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, do we not find him different times? Mark 1 verse 35. Before the dawn of the day in a secret place. Matthew 14 upon the mountain. For the church that was tossed upon those waves on the Sea of Galilee. Oh, it can be for a child of God. Also after the commemoration of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can be so troubled and so assaulted by the prince of darkness. Oh, then also this prophecy concerning Judah that received such a value. Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. What a value this petition has received for those disciples that were so astonished, that were so troubled, when Christ has revealed unto them that he must suffer and die. Oh, that high priestly prayer with a breastplate upon his heart concerning the whole church, where he has prayed unto his Father concerning his church. Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. How we can multiply it out when Christ, oh, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he has prayed, whether it was possible for the cup to pass by, nevertheless, not as I wilt, but as thou wilt. Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. When we see the greater Judah hanging on the cross, oh, what a prayer of the church. For that prayer of Judah, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, the sixth crossword, it is finished. Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. Oh, then we can broaden it out. Also concerning the state of his exaltation. Oh, when we think of Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father, for a people that is so prayerless and thankless of themselves, so dependent upon the greater Judah. Oh, then hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, where he prayeth at the right hand for his people and for those that shall be gathered. Our second thought regarding a victorious return of Judah, and then further, and bring him unto us people. That word bring in the original, that can also mean bring back, can also mean return. And that was now necessary many a times. Concerning the tribe of Judah, when the king, when his generals went to battle, when the children of Israel of Judah, when they have remained in their tents with much anxiety, with many prayers, where the land of Israel was surrounded by so many enemies. Ah, that is the picture of the living church. We read in Judges 1, when they have come in the promised land, that Israel have inquired of the Lord, who shall go up first, because there were many Canaanites remaining. And then Judah was commanded to go up first. Then how it must have been the prayer of the people that remained in their tents, wives, children, those that have remained behind, bring them back unto his people. Oh, think of King David, the battles that he has fought, then how the daughters of Jerusalem were given to rejoice, they were given to sing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Oh, many kings that have went to battle, then what a fitting prayer, bring him back and bring him unto his people. Oh, also concerning when they would be brought into captivity, when they were in that faraway Babylon, that Judah would be given to bring, was not Zerubbabel, was he not the prince out of the tribe of Judah? But now more so, concerning that greater Judah, all our text, that is also an Advent text, that is a cry for the greater Judah to come. It seems so impossible, it became more and more impossible, and that is not strange to the people of God. But we read in Isaiah 11 verse 1, and there shall come forth a root out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. When we read, and bring him unto his people, is that not a prayer and a cry concerning the promised Messiah in paradise? There we have left the Lord. The Lord has placed those cherubims with that sword that turned every way, impossible to return, and a people that is not able and not willing to return. But now, bring him unto his people. Was that not the prayer of the Old Testament church? Isaiah 64 verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow away at thy presence. Was it not the Advent prayer where they were looking, begging, praying for the coming of the Messiah, and return him unto his people? Has that not taken place when Christ was born in the manger of Bethlehem, that he has come upon this earth, that he has assumed our human nature to be that Savior, that the chiefest of sinners may be saved? Oh, bring him, return him unto his people. Is that not a fitting prayer concerning the greater Judah, concerning those Leahs, concerning those seeking souls with their riddles and their perplexities? that are given to experience with their Reubens, with their Simeons, and with their Levites, that they are still unreconciled. It can be so hidden, but what a fitting prayer. Bring him unto his people. Oh, is it not a fitting prayer concerning the backsliding church? Do I not read of a Job in Job 23, the verses 3 and 4? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. I would come even to his seat. I would fill my mouth with argument. And to that end, in the blessing of Judah, then the experience of the church, and bring him unto his people. Is that not a fitting prayer? Also concerning the administration of the Lord's Supper, because the means of grace, that is the preaching, but also the administration of the sacraments, it must be accompanied, it must be applied by the Holy Spirit. Oh, is it not a fitting prayer for the child of God that he may be brought to his people at the table of the covenant in the signs and the seals of the broken bread and the poured out wine, and bring him unto his people? And further, let his hands be sufficient for him. That is our third thought. Let us first sing. A Psalter 423, the stanzas 5 and 6. All Zion then rejoiced when in her gates were voiced the judgments, O Jehovah, which thou wast wrought for Judah. Her daughters sang with mirth, for high above the earth, thou who art God alone. And what follows forth? 423, the stanzas 5 and 6. the blessing and prayer concerning the manifold labors of Judah, concerning the blessed intercession of Judah, regarding a victorious return of Judah, and now thirdly, for sufficiency for the hands of Judah. When this blessing of Judah is in the way of prayer, then we must not understand, congregation, that there is uncertainty. It lieth so sure upon God's infallible word, that the Lord indeed hears prayer, and that the Lord shall never forget his people, to make it clear. When Christ has taught his church to pray, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, then it is not implied that God shall not receive the honor, and that his kingdom will not come, but then it is the prayer of the church, that it may be manifest in a very rich measure. And so it is also with the blessing of Judah, when it is in the way of prayer, for the true child of God, when the Lord grants a promise, it shall go. That is the ordinary way, that the Lord fulfills that promise in unfathomable and impossible ways. And a faith that is an act of faith, and then the church is given to use the means of grace, and then they are given to plead upon that promise. It can be for a child of God that they come before the Lord with their finger upon a promise, and that they are given to say, Lord, hast thou not promised this word unto me? But now it seems so impossible, can even be contrary providences. That the devil says, it is clear that it was not of the Lord. And so in the blessing of Judah, concerning those prayers, but there it is declared, it is implied, that with that blessing, that it shall be fulfilled, and that is only possible through him who would be born out of Judah. That is the greater Judah. And now thirdly, the sufficiency for the hands of Judah. Let his hands be sufficient for him. Thus our third thought, that concerns the labors of the church. Thus Judah, not only given to praise and to pray, but also to work and to pray. And now it is implied that Judah had a very difficult and impossible task, and to that end, in the blessing of Judah, also a prayer, let his hands be sufficient for him. And then when we think of the tribe of Judah, we have mentioned this morning, according to Numbers 10, the Lord has given a special order concerning the tribes, concerning the ark. And then Judah with his banner, they were to march on the foreground. Thus, if there would be enemies that would hear that the encampment of Israel was approaching, then Judah would be confronted with those enemies. And to that end, the prayer, of course, the Lord has promised to the children of Israel that they would come through the wilderness and that they would enter that promised land. But there would be those enemies, and to that end, the prayer for Judah, that his hands would be sufficient for him, that he would be enabled to withstand those enemies, was the same in the land of Canaan. When Judah was the first to battle, let his hands be sufficient for him. When we think of the children of Judah, when they have returned from captivity, then what a fitting prayer. Let his hands be sufficient for him. With the rebuilding of the temple, we have heard from the night visions of Zechariah what the enemies, what a trouble they have caused. Also with Nehemiah, let his hands be sufficient for him. Ah, that the church, that they become not overly discouraged. And, the church, they shall know, they shall experience what it is to be disappointed, so discouraged, even as in Elijah, to come under the juniper tree. But Elijah, dost thou not know that the Lord is that Almighty God? But Elijah, hast thou not experienced that the ravens have fed thee with flesh and bread? Oh, Elijah, has the Lord not granted his help on Mount Carmel? Has the Lord not sent fire from heaven? Elijah, has the Lord not answered the prayer in a special way with that little cloud as a man's hand? Ah, the church experiences that they need that sufficiency for each trial, for each circumstance. Oh, it is true, there are times as a David when they may be given to think when he has slain the lion and the bear, given to believe that he may slay Goliath. But the church learns it all comes from above. The church learns that they need that greater Judah as their prophet, their priest, and their king. And this is the blessing of Judah. Let his hands be sufficient for him. Judah had a special place, a special task, a special responsibility, because out of the tribe of Judah, the kingship has also went from one generation to another. But the greater Judah, what a task that was laid upon his shoulders. Let his hands be sufficient for him, because the greater Judah has come to be that mediator, to stand between his holy and righteous Father and a poor, condemnable, unworthy sinner. What a work that the greater Judah was called upon to do, that has been revealed this morning at the table of the covenant, the broken bread and the poured out wine. His task was so heavy that he has even asked his Father if it was possible that that cup would pass from him. Nevertheless, not as I wilt, but as thou wilt. Oh, the love of the greater Judah. Then his task was so great and so heavy that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he is crawled as a man and no worm, that a sweat became as gray drops of blood, that the Father has sent an angel. We read it in the Gospel of Luke, an angel to strengthen him. Let his hands be sufficient for him. Oh, those pierced hands. Thus, also concerning our third point, then we can draw many lines of reflection upon the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let his hands be sufficient for him. Then we could also speak of the preaching of the gospel. Also applies to the second point. Return him unto his people. Oh, sinners, turn their backs upon the Lord. Sinners that have no need for the gospel of Jesus Christ, return him unto his people. But also what a prayer for those whom the Lord calls to bring that glorious message, a message that natural man does not want, does not desire for sinners that are so busy in the world. Ah, for a people that we can become so hard that heaven does not draw and that hell does not scare. Then what a fitting prayer for the servants of the greater Judah, all the office bearers. Let their hands be sufficient. Our last thought, granting the needed help for Judah. And then we read, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. We have mentioned different warfares. The land of Canaan, what an enemies there have been. Oh, they have tried to destroy that people. Think of Pharaoh. Tried to destroy that people in Egypt. Cast the little boys into the Nile. Even think of that wicked queen, Athaliah, has murdered all her grandchildren, that the greater Judah would never be born. Thus, what a strife. This called a militant church, that warfare against that triple-headed enemy has been declared in that mother promise, Genesis 3, verse 15, that enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Oh, think of the greater Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew 4, in the wilderness, in the desert, hungered 40 days, and where he was tempted by the devil three times. Oh, then also in this prayer, it is declared that the victory lies sure, not in the strength of the church. Ah, the church learns that triple-headed enemy, and what an enemy it is, can also be. After the celebration of the Lord's Supper, oh, that the enemy can shoot his arrows. A question, one thought, and everything can be upside down. Ah, then the church learns that they have no strength of themselves. Oh, then how necessary that greater Judah is, that they may be given to and trusted into his hands. Because he is the victor, he has pronounced on the cross of Calvary, in those words, it is finished, that the head of Satan has been bruised. But how he can go about the world and that strife, that warfare against the church, against the living child, Ah, the living child, they shall experience that the devil is so real, with much power, and his devices are many. But then it is necessary that they may be given to look unto that greater Judah, who is the King of Kings and is the Lord of Lords. The victory lieth sure in him. Do we not read in Psalm 2 the first verses? Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That the kings, the rulers, they take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us cast our cords from us and break their cords asunder. And then we read of the greater Judah in verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. The blessings for the tribe of Judah, they are the blessings and the prayer for the true child of God. And now the question, we have read this whole chapter, all the different blessings concerning the different tribes. The one easier to understand than the other. How it must have been that the children of Israel, that they have spoken, that they have discussed, that they have asked for further light, that it has brought them on their knees, that it would be fulfilled for them. And now the question, young and old, are we now included under that blessed people? Has the Lord now begun that good work? Have we now become a true Leah? Oh, what tender-eyed and a weeping Leah, that we are busy with the Lord, with our sins, with divine realities, and the necessity that we come to a saving knowledge. Because do we not read in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And now concerning that blessed people, then Moses has ended that blessing concerning that people. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy. That's a prayer in our text, but the victory is sure. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. And then verse 29. Concerning that people, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. Only two Lord's Days left in this year. That has already far run its course. And whether we shall come to the end of this year, it is unknown unto us. It is known unto thee. May we be given to seek thee. While thou mayest be found, call upon thee. While thou art near, O Lord, we need as a poor sinner to come to the saving knowledge of the greater Judah and of his wonderful works which have been displayed at the table of the covenant with that broken bread and with that poured out wine, O Lord. O wilt thou pour upon us the richer outpouring of thy blessed Holy Spirit, that many may be brought to that saving knowledge, remember the tender-eyed Leahs. O wilt thou remember us the week which we have begun, and then we hope to have our annual male members meeting this week, Lord. May all our members, may they understand and feel the privilege, but also the responsibility and to their duty. May there be no unlawful empty places amongst us also in that respect. And may it be for the welfare of thy Zion, this portion of thy church. Remember also the coming Sabbath day. Wilt thou remember consistory and congregation? Remember all those that have an active part, our doorkeepers, those that may lead the congregational singings, the sound system. And, O Lord, we should all have a part in the way of prayer and in the way of supplication. Wilt thou then remember in the home? Remember the mothers with the unborn. Remember on the way, at work, at school. Wilt thou keep us from harm and danger? Wilt thou graciously spread thy wings over us? Wilt thou guide our thoughts, our words, and our deeds? Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Wilt thou grant courage and strength in the day of tomorrow to take up our labors, each in the place where thou wast placed us? Ah, then it is still a blessing when thou granteth health, strength, and courage, but also labor to do, that we still have a place and a purpose on the earth in the midst of all the trials, in the midst of all the discouragements. May our eyes then be upon thee. Wilt thou then keep us under thy kind care and under thy protection also in this evening when we return to our dwellings? Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins also of this day? In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 426, the stanzas 7, 9, and 10. What shall I render to Jehovah now for all the riches of his consolation, which oil take the cup of his salvation and call upon his name with thankful vow? And what follows? 426. 7, 9, and 10. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.